Hello, campers. We are now offering enamel pins with our logo for our $10 tier on Patreon.com. Go to patreon.com/SSFC or follow the link in our show notes to represent camp.
And now for the show.
Welcome to Scary Stories from Camp Roanoke. This is a podcast where we tell each other true scary stories. My name is Katie Wiggins.
I'm Morgan Driscoll.
And today is no different. Have you had any especially spooky Halloween-y experiences lately at all? I don't really know what that means, but you see any good decorations? How about that?
Oh, you live in a neighborhood. There's actually some really cute decorations by my house. Someone set up a bunch of skeletons walking in their yard, and they're all carrying a coffin.
Wow!
It's really, like, detailed and precious. They made it kind of cute, even though it sounds morbid.
It's definitely morbid. It's a bunch of skeletons carrying a coffin, which traditionally holds a corpse.
I do have some paranormal updates just in time for Halloween of stuff I've seen on Netflix.
Oh, great.
Okay. I've probably mentioned it before, and I'm gonna mention it again because it's so solid. Into the Grass. Into the Tall Grass?
On Netflix. I think it's In the Tall Grass, maybe.
In the Tall Grass. It's got the man from Insidious, from The Conjuring, the weird-looking guy.
The weird-looking guy?
I feel like he looks weird. Just the dad.
Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, probably.
If he's weird-looking to you, that's an insult.
I think he's weird-looking.
Because he was literally cast in the Phantom of the Opera movie to counter the Phantom. So he is literally supposed to be the most normal-ass looking Viscount in all of Paris. So you've got some casting directors to disagree with.
That's fair. He's also got weird facial hair in this movie. It's a fantastic film. Stephen King helped with the writing and or the directing. It's very terrifying. It just kind of loops and it's never ending, and I suggest it. I'm also currently watching. I was watching it and then Roger left town, so I had to stop watching it because I didn't want to watch something spooky and be alone in a big house.
What? Oh, Into the Grass you're talking about?
Well, no. So now I'm watching a show called Madeline. Marianne. It's called Marianne. I'm an idiot. It's called Marianne.
It's Madeline. That show is. It's very scary. Appendicitis. It's spooky. A spooky idea.
It's called Marianne, and it's a French show, very spooky. The main actress is very Kristen Stewart-y with the short hair and kind of not a lot of emotion, and the emotion she has is very, like, upsetting. And it's very typical. She's a horror author, and everything she writes is pretty much coming to life.
Cool.
And she's writing about this, it's the demon's wife.
Okay.
Marianne. Which I'm assuming that means she's also a demon. I was very offended. I was like, she's still a person. She's not just a wife. She's a person.
It could be an interdimensional relationship. It's 2019.
Yeah. It's also maybe lost in translation a little bit, but it's spooky and a little bit gory, but not in a I'm going to cut your limbs off kind of way.
Right.
In like a gory horror way.
Right.
Oh, it's fantastic.
All right.
I recommend.
I'll have to check these out. Lately in the Wiggins Gallagher household, we've been watching just like finishing up Succession. So that's like very not spooky Halloween vibes. It's very like sleek corporate fuck you vibes, which we love, but it's sort of put a damper on my overall fall oeuvre. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a concerted effort to try to bring that back into the fold. I think tomorrow I'll probably watch Hocus Pocus and maybe throw some others in there. Maybe watch some more Over the Garden Wall and really reconnect with
Have you seen Practical Magic?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course I have seen Practical Magic.
Ultimate vibes.
The problem with that movie is that somebody gets their eye poked with a needle and I can't.
Yeah. No.
I literally cannot watch that whole movie because of that one moment. So
what if I make you an edit where that's not in the movie?
I would love that movie. I would love that movie if that didn't happen.
Okay. I'll make it happen.
I would love it if someone did that, but you know what? Here we are. Anyway, you're telling me a scary story.
Okay. So, I wanted to find a new show because I was very, very, very tempted to just do Ghosts of Morgan City again.
That would have been okay, because let me tell you, okay. I watched a whole bunch of new shows and it's a whole bunch of fucking trash.
It can be very trash. I think next time I do a story, I will do Ghosts of Morgan City, because there's been a few episodes that are fantastic that have been recommended to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so very excited.
Okay.
I started watching the show that the premise seemed odd, but I was into it, and then I watched it and I was like, oh, no, this is very, very hokey. It's called Ghost Bait.
Ghost Bait?
Ghost Bait. And this isn't the one I took my story from. I just had to share this with the world.
Okay, so, I've never heard of this.
So, like, Rebecca, her house is haunted, and it's always in her bedroom. So, the Ghost Bait team comes in, and they, like, sit her down on her bed. They sensory deprive her, so she can't hear or see anything. She's got, like, a potato sack over her head, like, Bose earphones, and they're having her instigate with the ghost. Or they're instigating with the ghost to try and make it its most pissed off to, like, bring it out.
But sensory deprivation can lead to hallucinations.
Yeah.
I bet they knew that.
Probably.
I bet Ghost Bait was aware.
Yeah. It seems like a lot. I didn't get past the intro.
Who the fuck would sign up for that?
If right? I wanted to just mean.
Be terrorized in my own home, I would continue living in my free. Haunted home.
Not have someone in my house clean up. Damn. So I didn't watch that one.
Good, because I think what I just said is kind of puts a damper on that whole.
Busted. Flipping through notes to try and find another story. No, so I found a show I had never seen before called Haunted Case Files. Have you seen it? Heard of it?
I've heard of it. I may have dabbled.
So the premise of the show is they get professional ghost investigators.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring them on the show to talk about experiences they've had. So instead of, like, getting two or three stories of Becky in her home and Richard at work talking about their experiences, they've got ghost investigators.
Yeah.
And it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
I like it a lot. It wasn't as... I was like, this could be, like, really good or horrible. Like, they could be just a bunch of different Zach Bagans's.
I think he's a bit of a unique breed. I feel like your most standard ghost investigator personality is somehow, like, who you might also run into at, like, a metal concert. But they're not, like, a dick, but they also know the guy. They might, like, help be setting up equipment at a metal concert. That man is also a professional paranormal investigator. That in my experience, those are the types of people that do this. And then also just like a random ass, completely average woman in every way who just happens to that for a living. Looking at you, Amy Bruni.
Mm-hmm. So I've got three stories of three different ghost investigators and their experiences. And they're all very like bland people.
Cool.
But they're all like, they seem nice. They seem genuine.
That all tracks. Ghost investigators rarely seem nasty or mean.
Which I'm here for. Although, my only problem with the show is every single person they bring in, like, when they introduce them, it's them in a room, and they've got a swinging light. they stand them in front of this, and behind this light bulb, and they just let it go. And I don't know who that's for.
Bold choice. It's supposed bulb, to be for us, Morgan. We are supposed to get something from it.
Well, I didn't. Travel Channel. Okay. So we've got Alan Tulf. He seems like he fishes. Maybe he dabbles in rock and roll. He's got a really large beard.
Yeah, all of that? Right? Yes. All of that makes complete sense.
I could see him at Academy or a very specific concert. Like, he's... But he seems very, very nice. It's Michigan, 1996.
Wow.
So, home.
Okay. Love it.
They've gone all the way back in Allen. They're starting from the beginning with Allen. He's raising his family in a suburban home in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the basement always makes him feel really uneasy. He feels watched. He, like, knows deep down something's in there. Mm-hmm. He is not a paranormal investigator yet. Yeah.
But the seeds were being planted.
Baby Alan. He lives in the house and nothing crazy happens to him, nothing notable.
Okay.
In 2012, the family, him and his wife and his daughter Anna, they move out and he felt so relieved. He was so happy. Now his mother still owns the house, but she rents it out to people.
Mm-hmm.
So after a year of renting it out, so like 2013, the tenant just stopped paying rent. So Alan, knowing his mother's not going to want to have to deal with that, he goes to the house to deal with Alan and figure out what's going on.
Mm.
All of the guy's stuff is there.
He's the muscle.
He ran away. Alan has run off, leaving all of his possessions.
Wait, the renter.
Not Alan. Oh, I'm sorry. The renter.
Ran
the
off.
Renter has left all of his stuff. He abandoned the home. Which is a bold choice because things cost money. Can't dispute
Am I right?
So now Alan has to deal with all this stuff. He goes to the house to clear it all out. While he's in the house, he feels really, really cold. He says it feels electric and he feels really unwelcome. Usually when he lived in the house, it was only in the basement that he felt weird. Now it's the minute he opens the door, it's off.
Weird.
Very
weird. What
could
that renter have done to invite it into the foreground?
I don't know.
Maybe my question will be answered?
No.
Not this time. That's so, okay.
So before he finishes clearing all the stuff out, he goes to the house with his daughter, Anna. She's maybe like 20s. She's not older. She's not younger. She's, you know, an adult. They're an investigator team now. Very precious.
I mean, father and daughter?
Father and daughter.
That's cute.
Anna and Alan. So cute. So they're conducting their first investigation of this home that they lived in and she grew up in. They start off with an EVP session and they ask, I'd like to know who was in this house with me right now. And they said they've gotten nothing like it. He's been an investigator for 20 years at this point and he's never seen anything like it. He got 14 EVPs in 22 minutes.
Wow.
So we got a lot of responses.
That's a chatty ghost.
Chatty Kathy.
A chatty Michigander.
Ooh. They heard
leave. Did you know they're called Michiganders?
I did not know that. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Michiganders?
I don't like that. Well, it's what it is.
Maybe they could change it.
They can't. They won't. They don't like... They like it.
Okay, fair. So they hear, leave, fuck you. The devil is here, and Anna hates me.
And Anna is the daughter?
Anna's the daughter.
I
so
don't
they're directly
think the devil would be that insecure. So I don't. Anna my money is on
me.
This not being the devil.
Yeah, I don't think it's the devil. A very cocky ghost.
That's happened.
The devil
that
is
happens.
Here. Yeah.
The,
a lot of yourself, don't
you? Do you remember when I did the rescue mediums and they were in that place and he was like, who's here with me now? And the answer was like, Satan. And he was like, oh, really? Oh, you're Satan? Okay, then. You know, like, it seemed like this was not the first time
that
a medium had heard a ghost proclaim itself as Satan.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't realize I was in the presence of royalty, sir, your majesty, then.
Mr. Lucifer.
Exactly. Especially that was with deep Canadians. And now we're with Michigan, which is like in Canada, but in your nose.
Very nasally.
Well, okay, Mr. Lucifer, then.
So they're getting a lot of activity. Things are not happy. So they continue to her childhood bedroom that she grew up in. She said she never felt weird. I don't think she ever had any paranormal experiences when she was in the house as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Their technology meters are spiking. EVF? EFP? Not EVP, but something.
EMF.
EMF.
Electromagnetic
field. Sometimes they clearly explain the technology and other times you're like,
this is
duh.
A boop bopper. When it goes red, ghosties. Yeah. And we're like, that's fine. I don't need any more.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay.
We're all on board with that.
So It's spiking. They say there's a different vibe in the room from what there used to be. It's dark. It's angry. It's depressing. And it is upsetting. And that seems to be a trend in a lot of the house. Just a lot of adjectives that are no bueno. So they ask it to touch the antenna on one of their technology pieces. And you can hear an immediate electrical snapping sound.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happened, they were both filming. Her recorder turns off the minute the snap happens.
Mm-hmm.
And he catches this picture of, like, a white orb surrounding her.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff's happening, but they don't really know why or what's going on. She says when the white orb thing happened, she felt incredibly surrounded. She didn't feel safe. And they wanted to do a session with the spirit box to try and, like, talk to whatever's doing this. They exclusively got back angry and aggressive responses. Steal life. We believe the master. Jesus had a baby. I want my soul back. Where is my soul?
Wait. Jesus had a baby.
Jesus had a baby. In case you didn't know.
Mazel. Wait. That's kind of an interesting thing to throw
in. Yeah, they're getting some... I love We Believe in the Master.
That's very scary.
That's heavy metal. I love
very
it.
Very heavy metal spirit.
It's very Alan. So they ask, where are you? And they immediately get behind you. Which doesn't feel too good.
No, I don't like that.
So they move downstairs, so it is no longer behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the living room. It feels dark, sad, and ominous. They get in the spirit box. Where's the guy that's going to help us and help? So it sounds like there's a mix of, I'm Satan, Jesus had a baby, and help me, my soul's gone.
Hmm.
Very weird stuff.
I don't like that combination.
I don't like it. No.
I feel more comfortable with, like, an aggressive, like, teen angst demon energy that's like, yeah. Jesus had a baby. You know, like, you don't know about where the pyramids really came from. You know, like, that kind of energy.
Conspiracy ghosts?
That feels much more comfortable to me than being intermingled with real people in need.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. So they get the very dark, sad, please help me spirit box conversation, and then Anna suddenly feels someone forcibly grab her arm. So it's physically trying to get involved with Anna. It's mentioned her name. They realize that the activity and the entity is getting stronger as they're walking, and they freak out, so they go outside to regroup, kind of take a break. Oh, I drew a picture of Alan.
Wait. You drew a picture of Alan?
I did. In my notes, I drew an Amish beard, a frowny face, and, like, very square glasses, and I wrote Amish beard and white dad everywhere else.
That's my Alan. That's a person who likes metal.
Yeah.
Those are the ingredients.
I love it. So,
thank you for that visual aid, Morgan.
Yeah, I'm here to paint a picture. So, they calm down. But they know that they still want to go back and try and figure out what's going on, because there's going to be a lot more on the horizon, they feel. So they go in the kitchen. They hear very obvious footsteps upstairs, directly above them. Like, someone's pacing, someone's walking. They hear shuffling. They hear talking. There's a lot of activity around them. They decide to end with the basement, which is Alan's least favorite place in the house. He said immediately it was way worse than he remembered. It's terrifying. He feels very dark. It's heavy. They decide to do an EVP session. The dread is getting worse and worse. The longer they stay there, they feel watched. It feels very threatening. They hear whispers. It's like someone's in there whispering at both of them.
Oh.
They hear footsteps above them in the kitchen. They feel trapped, and they start to feel really unsafe since it already touched her, so they leave. And they still don't know what's in there. I think they definitely need to get a medium They think that because something was in the basement, maybe the renter did something to open a portal, probably did like a Ouija board or a ritual, and like brought up whatever was there, lying dormant, and now it's bad in there, and they really need to get someone in there to like fix it. I want a show where they pick up shows like this, and they get a medium, and they fix shit.
Rescue mediums.
Well, yeah, but they can't do everything.
Yes, they can. I believe in those women. I wish they could do everything.
Yeah, I don't want to run them ragged.
No, me
they're too
neither.
Precious.
Me neither. They just need to stay in those small towns in Canada and just solve shit.
They do. Fixing Canada. So that's all we have from Alan.
So what's where? Who owns the house? Do they still own the house?
His mother still owns the house. Yeah. I'm hoping since he's in the industry, he knows someone who can get him in contact with some help. Hopefully.
I sure hope so. That's his whole thing.
You don't get any explanation on what happened here.
I wonder what the renter did to escalate everything so quickly. Like, if you wanted to escalate a haunting in a room or in a home, what would you do?
A Ouija board.
I would do a Ouija board. I would try to interact with the spirit all the time. I would challenge it. I would try to talk to it all the time. I would acknowledge it all the time. I would be really afraid and angry. I would maybe do drugs. I would have a fucked up relationship with my stepmom. You know, stuff like that. I don't have a stepmom, but I'd get one and have a fucked up relationship with her.
If his stuff was all there, I think once they cleaned it out, they would come across something.
Yeah, you know.
If it was like a ritual or a
Open up a, you know, or lift up the rug and there's a giant pentagram underneath. Love those moments. Cool. That's like my favorite. That's like my favorite.
I do love that.
Yeah, I love the hidden pentagram motif. That's a fun one. but alas, I guess this one will just be lost to mystery and time.
Yeah. So we're moving on to Ohio in 2015.
Okay.
I like, they always say undisclosed Michigan, undisclosed Ohio. Like, I need to know the address. It's fine. Ohio's enough for me.
It happens to be where famous Cavaliers basketball player lives. I don't even know where that is. Akron? That's where LeBron James used to play for the Cavaliers, which are Ohio's team. I sure hope so. Ooh. If not, I'm editing this out.
It's a sports podcast now.
No. Hush. you hush your mouth. It will never be a sports podcast.
Oh, please, God, no.
But I know that LeBron James, I think, lived in Akron. So that's where that joke was supposed to come from. But I didn't know it well enough to even say it, so.
I got an ad for a baseball podcast today.
Wow. So Siri and Alexa, everybody's listening and taking all our data and all that shit to recommend you a baseball podcast. Come on,
like,
America.
It's not just baseball, it's life.
No, it isn't. What? I don't want to hear from men who love baseball.
It's a woman.
What?
Yeah, so I was like, that's interesting, but not interesting.
No, because baseball inherently is too long. Really every sense of the word. Seasons are too long. Games are too long. There are too many games.
It should
games.
Be 10 minutes and it should be a free-for-all. Everyone's just hitting baseballs.
It should be like a batting cage.
Dodgeball. But with baseballs.
Anyway, go Astros. Continue.
What? Okay, so we've got another 20-year veteran in the paranormal investigator world. Carlo Zusich. Zusik. Carlo. We're going to call him Carlo. Mm-hmm. So we're going to Jennifer's home. Jennifer has been getting really painful injuries that she can't explain. She's got scratches always in three that pop up all over her body.
Oh, no.
She'll wake up and it'll happen. Yeah, just from the beginning, not good.
No.
Her legs are red. She's got bad bruises. And in this show, they show pictures and videos from what the crews experienced. So we've got like a picture of her leg. And it's like she has a really bad rash. But she doesn't. It just popped up one day and then went away. She's starting to feel really drained and depressed, which I feel like are all signs of possession. One night, it gets right into it. There's no tiptoeing around. One night, she saw a big teethed lizard-like entity crawl up into bed with her, and it would breathe in her face. It would do sexual things to her, and while doing stuff, it would laugh at her.
Oh, no! No!
So, Jennifer is too afraid to sleep in her own bed. Makes sense. So she sits up in the chair and tries not to sleep, or she'll doze. Oh, but it's every night, and it still happens even if she's in the chair.
What?
Every night this lizard's coming for her.
Oh my god!
So she reached out to Carlo to try and get help. Carlo does what he does because he had an evil entity in his home when he was a child, and he wants to help other people get rid of their stuff.
Okay.
It's a very helpful guy. He's more hardcore. I don't know what to think about him. He's just a guy.
Meaning hardcore, like, literally in terms of metal music? Or no, like,
just his personality. He's not rude. He's just more stoic. I don't know. He's just harder to read.
Do you think he, just like, takes his job more seriously?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's here to do a job.
Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah. I like him. He's fine. Not as fun as Alan. Alan just... You feel at home with Alan. So, Carlo's got experience and stuff like this, and he immediately thinks it's an incubus, which is a sex demon situation. They're evil. They seduce... Well, they don't seduce you. They do sexual stuff. Not nice people. Incubus. So, they get to her house. They walk in the door. It's Carlo and his team, Chris and Todd. And the minute you walk in, it's really hard to breathe. It feels really heavy. It just doesn't feel good in the house. They can tell something's off.
I can never remember if it's... Is it the male spirit that's the incubus or the suck...
It can be... Oh. I think the succubus is the female.
Damn it. We should know this.
I'm fairly certain.
Okay. Because
this seems like it's a male.
Okay. I just think of the words incubate and suck, but both of those things... Could refer to a woman because women can get pregnant and incubate. However, succubus could suck the... I really don't want to get into how I think that could also relate to a woman, but, you know. I don't really think we have to argue about this at this point. It's just a sex demon.
Sex demon.
Also, gender is a construct, potentially even in... other dimensions, so probably if not more in other dimensions, so I don't think we really need to be fussed. It
just
is also
a bastard,
a lizard.
It's a lizard,
right? So I don't think we need to be fussed about its pronouns.
It's a sex lizard demon. So they start in her bedroom, where it comes to her every night. Right away they hear "get out" in this room. So the team's like, let's use our spirit box.
Well, let's pack it up.
And they ask what the name is, and it replies, demon. And then it reveals itself immediately after by, she's got a nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
And she has three ceramic angels sitting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels all, they watch them all turn to face the wall.
No, no, that's okay. That's all right. None of that. I don't need any of that. I'm all set.
So they all watch that happen live and in color. And then they immediately heard pissed off stomping in the hallway. It does not like that someone's coming in to get rid of it. They know nobody's there. One of them checked. There's nobody there. But they could feel his presence. And they heard animal-like growling, and it felt very like crocodile, cat purr, like very like throaty.
That's something.
Yeah, not
oh my
not
God,
making me feel
imagining
good.
A crocodile.
I can't.
Do they make noises?
That.
A crocodile roar?
It felt. I think they don't roar, but they. I feel like they make like a gut, like a growly reptile sound.
I hope to God neither of us ever find out.
That's a very good point. So the hair is standing up on the back of everyone's neck from the sound. They feel completely surrounded by evil. They decide to end their investigation because they know it's just going to get worse and worse, and they want to start with the cleanse immediately.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Apparently, to them, a cleanse means an exorcism. I guess a cleanse is an exorcism, but a cleanse sounds much more...
There's a whole lot of words. Deliverance, yeah. Cleanse, yeah. Exorcism. It's generally just lots of prayers and walking around different parts of the house, usually with holy water, sometimes with salt, sometimes smoking some kind of herb.
So, I thought it was just going to be a brief cleanse because none of them are priests or men of any cloth.
Any kind of cloth.
But they're performing an actual exorcism.
What?
Well, they're calling it an actual exorcism. I guess just kicking out the demon through prayer.
No.
Mm-mm, you can't just do that.
You can't just be doing exorcism. You have to be a priest. Or you must call the Pepo, call the Pope, and they will send the priest. You have no idea how much fun I've had with that character since we finished recording. I realized whose accent I was doing. This is from last episode. I was doing Monica Bellucci, the beautiful Italian actress who I adore, who is also a little questionable personally. But yeah, I fucking love the shit out of her.
Love
so
that.
Yeah, it gave birth to
it's
really,
one of my favorite.
Yeah, brilliant character. Love it. Yeah, so grateful.
Beautiful.
To Mary Pomeroy, de las Dolces a Malta. Anyway, continue.
So everybody's in a prayer circle holding hands. It's Todd, it's Chris, it's Carlo, it's Jennifer. And Chris starts issuing a warning to everyone. If the demon's like gonna fully lash out, this is gonna be when he does it. So it could get not great. Immediately Todd starts reacting. He feels really nauseous. He feels really sick. He described it as a hand was going into his stomach, turning things around.
Mm-hmm.
A man of words. He couldn't move. He was terrified, and he felt something begin to take over his body and mind, and then he was throwing up.
Oh, gross.
In the circle.
Oh, gross.
He turned pale.
Jesus, Todd.
And then they rushed him outside because he's vomiting.
Get out of the circle.
Get out!
Just so everybody knows, be careful, right? Okay, if there's a spirit, immediately rushed out.
And they started off saying, like, we can't break the circle. It's going to look for a point of weakness. And we have to be very strong. And Todd's like, uh-oh, I don't feel so good. So he's outside. He says that he felt like he blacked out. He doesn't know where he was when he got out of the house. He was, like, in a daze. So they left him out there. I'm sure there were some other crew members to be with him. I hope he wasn't sitting outside the house by himself in a state of pure confusion.
Where am I? Some undisclosed location in Ohio?
He just starts walking. The others go back in the house. They're ready for a fight. They're holding hands, repeating their prayer. They need to say it 3 times. They feel surrounded by this lizard.
No!
It's making the reenactment. It's gross. It's making those noises, those like reptile-y throat noises. They showed a picture of this ashtray that was sitting just on a table, like in the middle of a table. It was snapped in half.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't, like, shattered. It was snapped in half. It was, like, a very, very thick glass ashtray.
These people are still smoking inside?
Yeah.
Wow. Jennifer, that's what I was wowing about. No, that's also very upsetting. They could break an ashtray in half. Yeah.
Maybe it was something she picked up.
No.
Because she was getting demoned. Yeah. Go outside. It's Ohio. I'm sure it's lovely.
I mean, it's your house.
Yeah, true. They hear glass shattering. They hear stomping. They hear growling.
No.
It's just around them in each of their ears. They're frantically trying to say the prayer louder and louder. And then the activity starts to quiet down and lessen until they finally finish saying their prayer 3 times. And then it's silent. And Jennifer said she felt like it was fully gone. They get Todd. He says he felt like he was close to death, but suddenly he felt much better. They think it was like right when the prayers ended, he felt better. And Jennifer moved because she didn't have any more experiences, but it was still a tainted home for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she moved. But it sounds like they got rid of her incubus.
Well, that's awesome.
Even though they're not men of the cloth. But
apparently they had rock solid faith.
They walked with Christ and that's all that matters. So I have one more story. Undisclosed Colorado. We've got a really old home where I think in the early 1900s, maybe a little later, then give me a year, a man had drowned his wife and his daughter in the bathtub.
Oh. Okay.
These are not good stories.
Really these intense. Are bad.
Yeah.
It's dope.
It's kind of cool. They're dope. The home is currently being rented out by a man named Brad. He says that his renters tell him a lot about shadow figures on the stairs. They hear footsteps at all hours. They hear disembodied voices. And he can't rent it because people keep leaving.
Damn.
So he reached out to Richard, who's going to help him figure out what's here and get rid of it. He says that a lot of people have come to investigate this house, a lot of paranormal investigators, and they say this is the most active and haunted house they've been to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Richard and his team members, Jason and his pregnant wife, Linda. They get in the house. Before they set up stuff, they kind of walk around, see what it's like. They immediately are aware that it's like an aggressive energy, because why not? Before they even fully set up the machine that takes energy and makes it into words, I think it's called the Oracle.
The machine that takes energy and makes it into
words? And types words. It types words.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that episode of Ghost Adventures where they had the thing connected to the tomb on the site and they were having it, like, text?
Yes.
This is kind of that.
Yes, I do remember.
I think it's called an Oracle and I didn't even write the name because I hate the name. The technology, it's stupid, but I love it. So before they set up the machine, that machine was getting homicide, resent them, they got a really strong EMF energy surge.
Mm-hmm.
So they finish setting up and they're asking some questions. Is there anyone here that's been killed? They asked, are you here? Why'd you do it? And they got a lot of beeping. They got a message. Three upstairs, gasp, and threat. They got a lot of, in this house, a lot of choppy words. But they're trying to piece it together with the story that they know from the house. They say it's a very ominous feeling. So they decide to go straight to the scene of the crime in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Is it like... No, it wouldn't be the same bathtub. Those bathtubs would have been like claw-footed. Very different.
Yeah. The men were in the bathroom and Linda was standing at the door. And she's looking down the hall. She's not a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe she's probably... and a little bit of an empath, because she saw a grayish black cloud it was like a young child and it was full of dancing lights is how she described it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a hazy looking kid and it ran to her and disappeared before it reached her. She's freaking out. They're asking the room, is your daughter here with us? They're thinking maybe it's the daughter that was drowned. They get the message, hit, attack, hurt, blood, starve. The feeling is very threatening. They get puncture. They get a really big EMF spike again. And Linda decides, at least in the reenactment, she was all full of piss and vinegar, and she calls a spirit out. It's the redhead here. Were you trying to hurt me? The message says yes. And the spirit box says, kill her.
Okay.
So they're getting a mix of stuff in this text message kind of thing and stuff that the box is picking up. They, for some reason, have Brad, the owner of the home, go upstairs by himself. They're like, hey, Brad's upstairs. Show yourself to Brad. And he said he saw the dancing lights that Linda described. And then he felt something cold grabbing at his leg. Then his leg was in a lot of pain. So he ran downstairs, told him what happened, and said, I'm leaving. So Brad's out of the picture. So they're talking about what happened, and then they get a spirit box message that says, go upstairs.
Well, do what the box tells you.
Do it. You won't. And then they immediately hear a very loud thud upstairs. Do it. Go upstairs. So they ask, are you trying to scare people? They got back attack. Then they hear some pacing above them upstairs. So they go upstairs. They go to where the little girl's bedroom was. They ask who was there. They get daddy. They get daddy, choke, scare, drunk, squeeze, tragic, horrible, mourning, and children.
It's interesting. It almost feels like the perspective of these words is not from the people experiencing it. It's almost like a police officer, because there was the word homicide, puncture, tragic. I feel like generally people
don't say those things.
That are the victims of it. Tragedy. Aren't just like,
or the ones who even did tragic, it. I'm not going to say homicide,
puncture. Like, those are all kind of big, like, formal words. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. It's almost like a ghostly little sheriff rolled into town and laying out the situation.
They've got the ghost of a journalist laying down the scene. So they've got all those words, and then we hear no more from the text message box. So they're talking to each other, trying to figure out what's there, and then all of a sudden, the craziest thing happened. Linda, her clothes, so where your hip is, a little bit, a couple inches past the thigh, and 1 or 2 inches above the hip, it's soaking wet on her.
What the fuck?
Out of nowhere. They were just standing in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, her clothes in that one spot on one side of her are soaking wet. The floor is not wet. No one else. There's no understanding where the water came from. It's almost like someone, like a kid who took a bath, they said, leaned against her or sat on her.
Oh, that's...
Something wet was, like, pressed on her.
I get the hiccups. That's super weird.
Yeah, and I love them at this moment, because they were like, we're pretty concerned, because it's very much giving off the vibe of I'm a child, but typically when something's doing that, it's not really a child. So we have to be really cautious that there's a darker entity behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys, the one who's married to Linda, was very nervous because she's pregnant and it seems to be targeting her at this point, and he didn't want it to hurt her or attach to her, so they decide to leave the home. It feels dangerous. And so they don't go back to the house, but after the fact, the whole rest of the pregnancy, the wife is spotting. She's in a lot of pain most of the time. She has a lot of complications. Her pregnancy was really difficult. She was praying constantly, and she always carried a rosary because she felt like something might have attached to her. But they had their baby, and it's very healthy. But I feel like you put it at risk a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had a spooky, demonic, potentially, house. We had a lizard incubus, and we had who knows what at the drowned house.
And none of them used a medium or a psychic.
None of them used a medium. I need to watch more of the show and find someone who does.
Okay, Queens, I guess all that's left for you is to have a spooky night.
Filled with restless dreams.
Of haunted things. Ooh, it's a full moon. Ah, perfect. Not for you, though, listener. It's waning, you bitch.
Stupid.